Thank you, Scott, for that, and thank you to the elders and the congregation for allowing me the privilege to be able to open up the Word of God with you. And today we are going to look at Psalm 67, the text, if you have your copy of God's Word and want to turn there. And we're going to look at these passages. I'm going to read this and then pray for us. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face to shine upon us, that Your way may be known on earth, Your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For You judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear Him. Let's pray. Father, I pray that You would be glorified. I pray that You would use Your Word to accomplish the purposes that You have set forth for the sake of Your great name. Amen. Amen. Well, the elders have asked that I speak on the subject of spreading the fame of His name through missions. And in thinking through the overall topic of the conference, the heart of evangelism, I was drawn to this text, not just because I'm familiar with it, because of the name of the missions organization, but because of the boldness and the sweetness of its words to us as the people of God. The author of this psalm begins by calling the people of God to worship through boldly asking God to be gracious and to provide His blessing. And notice that this part may not necessarily be in my notes, but thank you, Brig, for praying about this. But as I was thinking through this part right here, that this is a prayer, this is a song for the people of God and not just one person. Notice it says, may God be gracious to us. May God bless us. This psalm, this song of praise, of prayer, that God would collectively bless His people, that He would do what we're about ready to talk about here. And here we see the confession also of the need for all people to continually seek the mercy and the grace of God. That's what it says in verse 1. May God be gracious to us and bless us. And it is right, church, for you and I, as the people of God, to ask the Lord with a sincere and pure heart for the blessing of our God. As believers, we can never outgrow our need for the daily and constant mercy of the Lord, which endures forever. In fact, the more you and I mature, we should see not that our own personal strength grows, rather you and I should see with greater clarity how dependent we are on the ever-present mercy of God. If you ask anybody who's been following the Lord for any time, they should be able to tell you that they see more and more their weakness, and they see more and more the greatness of the God who sustains them. And that is a sign, friends, of maturity, when we recognize that it is not our strength that upholds us, but we are dependent upon the mercy of our God. Now, in this passage, we see this statement asking for God to bless His people and asking God to make His face shine upon His people. And it's right for you and I as the people of God to ask the same. But what could we mean by this blessing? What is being talked about here? Well, some of the things that the people of God should earnestly ask the Lord for would include things such as that God would bring salvation to families and to those around us, our own families, our own children, the people within the congregation around us, that God would bless us by being pleased to awaken the hearts of those who do not yet believe and bring them to salvation. It's right for you and I to ask God to bless His people for growth in the fruit of the Spirit, that we would grow as a people in patience and kindness and goodness and self-control and all of those other things as we put off the old self and we're putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's right for us to ask God to bless His people in this way. It's also right for us to ask the Lord to give specific gifts to others that they might serve. It's right for us to ask God to bless His church by raising up servants within His church equipped with different gifts that they might be used to proclaim the greatness and the glory of the God whom they serve. Of course, asking God for provision, asking God to fill us with the Spirit. Scott, one of the sermons I remember you preaching and just laboring for us to remember, and I will remember likely till the day I die, is this. It's not just ask to be filled with the Spirit, not be filled with the Spirit, but be being filled with the Spirit, and we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. It's right for us to ask the Lord to bless us that we might be filled with the Spirit of God and walk according to the Spirit. Something else that would include God's blessing is this. May we ask for the unity among all true believers, that there would be a love that would exist among all true believers, no matter what church you attend, no matter where you're from or what your primary language is, what side of the tracks you grew up on, that there would be a love, a genuine love that would exist among all believers, and that it would grow and grow. And it would be, as Francis Schaeffer says in his book, The Mark of the Christian, he calls love the final apologetic, because by this the world will know, and this will sound familiar to you, that the Father has sent the Son. And by this the world will know who are the true believers, the true disciples, if we have love for one another. So it would be right for you and I, as the people of God, to ask God to bless His people that we might grow in Christ-like love and affection for one another. Because this testifies to the world that the Father has sent the Son and that you and I belong to Jesus. He is our Master because we have love for one another. Amen? Notice the request for blessing is not a general request for riches and resources for the sake of having and displaying power and might. Notice this is not a song about making Israel great again. It's not for the showing off of possessions. But in this text we see one great desire. And that is the point of all of this. That the name and the fame of the Lord God would be made known in all the earth. Specifically, the author uses the words that your way, this is verse 2, may be known in all the earth. Well, what is meant here by your way? It may seem kind of simple to some, but just to make sure that we're all clear, the way of God includes His entire story of redemption in history. The history of creation, the fall of man, punishment for man's rebellion, and God's provision of a Savior. In this text, we see the words that your saving power among all nations would be made known. Now, we should know that in the Old Testament, we will find account after account of the story of salvation. In the New Testament, we see that God saved the best for last in providing His only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the author and perfecter of our faith, who by His atoning death, He accomplished salvation for everyone who believes. And through His resurrection, we have our guarantee of eternal life. But the story of salvation was preached generations before the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole story of the Scriptures is about God and His work of salvation in His people for His glory. It's not just a New Testament concept. All of the Bible points us to Jesus Christ. All of the Bible points us to the story and glory of the One who died for our sins and who conquered death and hell in our place. All of the story of the Bible points us to the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, to the glory of God. In this passage, we see the concept of missions even existed long before Paul ever lived. Many times when you ask, well, give us some examples in the Bible of missions. Rightfully so, we go to the Apostle Paul. We go to the New Testament. We go to Acts. We go to all of the epistles and we start talking about that. But the concept of missions existed long before the Apostle Paul ever lived. And we know this because both the saving way of God and the sending out of His message and His rule and His saving way has always been because they flow directly from God Himself. You will see this throughout the Old Testament. Now, I hope that it bothers you whenever you read, not bothers in a bad way, but causes you to gain attention as you're going through here and you're looking through the text in the Old Testament and you're saying, wow, this message of the story and glory of God and how great God is and how great and mighty He is in salvation can be seen clearly and completely through every single page of this book, because God has always been telling us that He is great and that He is mighty and that He is holy and that He is just, and there is great reward in trusting and seeking Him. This story of God's salvation has existed from the very beginning. And understanding biblically the task of missions, if we understand it biblically, it's not primarily, missions is not a list of activities. It's not necessarily even about mission trips. It's not even about efforts to reach the lost, though it certainly involves these things. But missions is a way to describe God's continuing work throughout history in announcing His greatness and His saving way throughout all the earth. And you and I, we can make it about us. We can make it about our missionary friend. We can make it about a missions agency. We can make it about so many different things. But missions is God's work. It is His way of announcing His greatness and His saving way to all the earth. If you and I want to see our place in this, we must recognize that this great task, the one that we just sung about, that's unfinished, this task is something that God is doing. God is equipping His people. God is raising up His people. God is equipping His church to proclaim the greatness of His name throughout all the earth. And through His blessing, you and I have the privilege of joining God in His work. This is not our task, friends. This is us having the privilege of joining the God of the universe who created the sun, who created the moon. He created all of the stars. This week we heard about the black hole and what people are thinking about. And God created that. And God created all of those things, seen and unseen. He creates all of that and holds it by the power of His might. He is a great God, and He invites you and I to join Him in the great privilege of announcing His worth and His majesty and His fame throughout all the earth. The second point to mention here would be the clarity of this task. The task is that the way of the Lord and His saving power would be made known. As a church, we are not simply to do missions. Get this. The difference may sound subtle, but it's huge. We are called to send the gospel out through those who are called. Don't confuse the two. There are many helpful tasks in which we can engage. And please understand that I am not against efforts to bring relief to those who have experienced natural disaster, who have experienced famine, war, or other tragedies. But the work of the people of God is always first and foremost to declare the way of the Lord to the people. That's our job. To proclaim the gospel of God to the world. This is the gospel. John Piper has said rightly, Christians should care about all suffering, especially eternal suffering. Else they have a defective heart or a flameless hell. Let that sink in. In fact, as Christians, you and I should be the people most concerned about those who are enslaved in human trafficking. We should be the most concerned about those who are starving, those who are sick, those who are abused, those who are depressed, suicidal, confused with their identity, and those who are sexually confused, those who live in poverty, the addicted and the neglected. If there is one group of people who care for these and many more, it should be the people of God. We care for them because they are people created in the image of God, and we are called to love our neighbor as ourselves. But as we are caring for the hurting, we must point others to Christ, who has shown His compassion to us. Let us never forget that. As many tasks as we may engage in, our mission and our task is to proclaim Christ. Let us teach others that apart from Him, there is no eternal freedom. There is no salvation. There is no real and lasting hope. Let us proclaim the loving truth of to others of our ruin and sin and the mighty and marvelous deliverance and guarantee of our eternal hope in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us announce like the brothers in Mexico. Scott, I had the privilege of going with Scott and others in Mexico in probably some shady areas. And in the middle of the night, Scott likes to tell the story. He's like, you know, if you go to Aaron, he's going to tell you you're not going to do this and this and this because we're not really going to put you in danger. And then he takes you there and he does all of those things. We went out at night. We went out late. We went into a shady part of the town. But there were some believers there that I just wanted us to meet. And man, we're so blessed by this group. And one of the things I love about them, and I would love for everybody here to be able to know about them, but more importantly, to know the salvation and joy that these people experience is this. They proclaim boldly. It's this church that's reaching to people that are on the street, that are enslaved in addiction to drugs and alcohol and everything else that you can imagine. And they have plastered up on their wall something that I just love. They just say this boldly. This is what they proclaim in the streets in the middle of the night in some of the most dangerous parts of the world. They sit there and they say, the world says, once an addict, always an addict. But we proclaim that if you know the truth will set you free. They proclaim a real Jesus, a risen Jesus, who is mighty to save, who is powerful to save. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about this in just a second. They provide meals and they provide help and practical assistance to people, but they don't just do that. They proclaim Jesus to the lost. That is the commission that Jesus gave His disciples, is for us to go and make disciples likewise, teaching them to obey everything that our Lord has commanded. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, baptizing them with this promise to know that our Lord is with us even to the very end. And that's the commission that God gave us, His people. And it is impossible to overstate the need for us to hold to and proclaim the pure gospel. Our experience in Mexico and along the border has helped me see this clearly. The Lord is doing a great work in various places throughout the world. God is proclaiming His greatness through faithful people. He has called to proclaim the gospel, and He's doing a great work among many brothers and sisters along the border and in the country of Mexico. And we're privileged to work alongside of them. And some of the congregations operate differently than this congregation. Some of them dress differently. They certainly have different eating habits. They have different ways of expressing themselves in their corporate gatherings. But you know what unifies us and allows us to work together for the sake of the gospel? It is our love for one another that can be seen visibly, that can be heard audibly, because we have one Lord. And because we believe in one principal message, and that is Christ, Him crucified, buried, and raised from the dead. Friends, may we never depart from preaching the gospel. Not Jesus plus or minus anything, but Jesus and Jesus alone. For instance, we recently met with Pastor Daniel in the state of Nuevo León, Mexico. Briggs likes to tell this story. He's just like another pastor that we recently met. They care for those who live on the streets, those who live in drug addiction. They care for a young man like Carlos, who's in his 20s now, who stood up just a few weeks ago and told us his story of being sold to traffickers when he was less than 9 years old, and his mother sold him on the streets. Their approach to reaching these individuals, I want you to hear this. Sure, they educate them. They teach them to read. They teach them to write, to cook, to clean, to work with their hands. But if you ask them, and we did ask them, what is it that you do here? They will tell you without hesitation, they do what the Lord has called them to do, and that is to make disciples of Jesus Christ. Their desire is that their disciples know the Lord, know His Word, and walk in full obedience according to the Spirit. They're not Southern Baptists. They're not Presbyterian. But we can say to these brothers and sisters, keep going, because their message is the same message of ours, and that is the message of Christ. One time I asked Scott his thoughts on a pretty lively group that we were with. They were pretty expressive in their singing. They were saved and they were happy about it, folks. I don't know how to tell you. They were saved and they wanted nothing more to tell you what God had saved them from and what God was doing in them. And they wanted to tell you that all glory belonged to God. And they were excited about it. It's such a shame that that should be so strange among the people of God, that sometimes we look at them like, you're kind of strange because you're really excited about being saved. And no, we should be excited. Friends, we should be excited that God has redeemed us. We should be excited that, as we were praying before this time today, we should be excited that Jesus is coming. That should make His people motivated. That should motivate us to godliness. That should motivate us to praise. It should motivate us in hope and expectation for the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will all be with Him in glory. But I asked Scott, I said, you know, these people that we were with, they were pretty excited. They were pretty excited in their singing and so forth. What do you have to say about that, Scott? You know, don't you love putting people on the spot and just saying, hey, what are your thoughts about this? And another thing that was just so wise, and this was a real challenge to me. I don't know if you remember even saying this. He's like, oh no, I don't know what he's about ready to say here. But concerning the work, he said, you know what? I was thinking about that. This is not verbatim, okay, so this is a little paraphrase here, but he said, I like what they're doing more than what we are not doing. You see, friends, there can be a great partnership in the gospel if you and I make our message the message of Jesus. And we don't waver from the... It's not Jesus plus. It's not Jesus kind of. It's Jesus only. Jesus alone can save. And finally, we see the ultimate aim of missions. Verse 3. Verse 3 says, let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. I'm going to go ahead and read verse 4. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for You judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. The ultimate aim of missions and the spreading of God's name is worship. And that is that all peoples may praise the name of the Lord. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. Piper again puts this so clearly in his book, Let the Nations Be Glad, when he says, missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exist because worship doesn't. Worship, therefore, is the fuel and the goal of missions. Missions begins and ends in worship. worship. And that is what we see here in this passage. What is the desired outcome in this psalm? It says right here, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let the peoples praise you. Let all the ends of the earth fear Him. Let's look again at verse 4 also, that it talks about let the nations not just fear, not just praise, but be glad. Be glad in the Lord. Missions exist because worship doesn't exist in places right here in Arnold. Missions exist because worship doesn't in certain places in your school, in your job. I'm going to say even in your seminary. There are dark places everywhere, and God is calling His people to take His gospel and to proclaim it in all places for the joy of all peoples and to the glory of God in Christ Jesus. Missions exist because worship doesn't exist in places in Iraq, in the Sudan, in South America, in North St. Louis, in the United Kingdom, in Tampa, in India, in other places that we could continue to name. And God is raising up because God is on a mission to declare His greatness throughout all of the world. And brothers and sisters, He invites you and I to be involved in this great task. Now, how can we pray for something like this? Well, here's an example. Whenever we're in the city of Matamoros, Mexico, forgive me for bringing up, I didn't bring the meme up here, but it shows a guy sitting in a car with his window rolled down and his arm on the door, and there's bullet holes all through the car. And it says in Spanish, I'll translate it for you. It says, "Welcome to Matamoros. Nothing ever happens here." It's just kind of this. It's a violent place. Okay, I'm not going to lie about that. It's known for shootings. It's known for lots of violence. It's known for kidnappings. It's known for pain and suffering. It's known for intense suffering that many of us could never even imagine. But one of the ways that I pray for the city of Matamoros, and I pray with the believers there, whenever I preach and whenever I talk to people out on the streets, is I am praying that in the place of gunfire and violence, instead of listening out on the streets and hearing the gunfire, instead of seeing the destruction, I'm asking the Lord to fill the streets with the singing of the praises of the Most High God throughout all of these neighborhoods. We could think of it locally here. How can you and I pray for our neighborhoods? I was thinking about this even this afternoon, because I'm sure that there are some people here that are associated with the city of St. Louis or around the city of St. Louis. If not, we live in this area. We should be praying for our brothers and sisters in and around St. Louis City. But in the place where there are shootings, where there's the sound of screaming, we can agree with other believers that may look and talk and dress differently than us. We can pray with them that in the place of this gunfire and leg shackles and handcuffs and funerals taking place because of the violence, we would see singing, joy, and hope in Jesus. Not like the world is asking for. The world is just asking for us to do something to end violence. Let's just put some counselors in place. Let's just put some programs in place that will help provide some structure. And please understand, I'm not against those things. And God can certainly use people in those contexts. But folks, there's only freedom, there's only salvation in Jesus. And it's right for you and I, as the people of God, if we want to join God in His work of taking His gospel and proclaiming His fame to the nations, it's right for you and I to pray for these neighborhoods and say, Lord, We've heard on the news of all of these shootings, and we go to North St. Louis and we say on Cope Brilliant, Lord, we're asking instead of shootings, instead of screaming of terror, we long for the day that the people of God would be right here in the streets drowning it out with songs of praise to the Most High God. And Lord, as we're praying for this, we're asking You to allow us to make disciples in Your name, that they too would be glad in God. What a vision that the nations would be made glad in God. Kyle read this earlier in 1 Chronicles 16. I've just been loving reading through Deuteronomy and through 1 Chronicles. Not many times do you feel like saying, man, you know what? I got fired up today reading my Bible, and it was from the book of Deuteronomy or from the book of 1 Chronicles. But I'm telling you what, this is good stuff. Whenever you see the ark of God being brought back, and it was brought to Jerusalem, and David appointed, I got excited about these three words. You go back and you read it when you have time. In chapter 16, David appointed men to invoke, to thank, and to praise the Lord. That was your job. You know what? You're appointed. This is your job right here among the people of God. Your job right here is to invoke the name of the Lord, to thank the Lord, and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. What a wonderful task. What a wonderful privilege. But look at what David says. Parallels right here in his song. It parallels what we've been talking about right here in chapter 16, starting with verse 23. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Declare His glory among the nations. So what's happening? God is blessing His people. God is blessing the people, the congregation, if you will. God's people are being blessed by His presence and His great work. And what is their response? They say, among the nations, the Lord reigns. Declare His glory. Where? Among the nations, His marvelous works. Among all the peoples, sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of His salvation from day to day. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. And He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. But the Lord has made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and joy are in His place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory to His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. What's happening here? God is blessing His people. And David is saying, he's singing, teaching a song of praise, a hymn of praise to God, saying, God, thank You for blessing us. And let's declare, singing to everybody else, let's declare among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let's tell of His salvation from day to day. And what happens? The nations, may the nations be glad. David goes on to sing that the trees of the field will clap their hands. The oceans singing the praises of God with the clapping of the waves. The sun and the stars testifying that God is great. I had the opportunity yesterday to go to the Bass Pro Shop in Springfield in the aquarium. It's something spectacular. If you've never been there, I was just watching these different animals and just And somebody said, how many animals are in this little big small tank? Or how many fish and types of fish are in this small tank? And they said 20. And they all look the same. And we're like, how are they so different that there's like 20 different kinds of fish, but yet they all look the same? And they began telling me intricate details. And we saw different kinds. We saw sharks and we saw turtles and we saw all of this stuff. And I was sitting there just reminded, why do these animals and creatures exist? They exist to declare the glory of the God who made them. And God created you and I to do the same. All of creation, may all of creation join together in declaring the glory of God. So let's be bold in our plea for the mercy and grace of our Lord. And with a sincere heart, let's ask the Lord to bless us as His people. Not so that we can be fat and happy, but that the ends of the earth may fear Him. Let the nations be glad. Let the nations be glad. And may you and I give praise to this great and mighty God who in His grace has given us the privilege of joining together with Him and making His name great among the nations. So Lord, we pray that Your name would be proclaimed, that all the peoples may praise You to the glory of God in Christ Jesus. We pray. Amen.